Well, it's good to be here this morning. Thank you, David, for the gracious invitation to be here. I haven't seen Chris, Pastor Chris, yet, if you in the audience. And as he said, I'm here with Sandra again, my wife. And just good to be here. I'll just set this over here. I'm a water drinker when I preach. So good. I want to kind of get right into it, to the Word of God, because I really, truly believe that Pastor David says, well, you know, I said, what do you want me to preach on? He sent me a text, and I said, okay, I just kind of go with that. So, you know, my typical approach is to inquire of the Lord and say, okay, God, I don't know how you want me to say it. And so I do that and trust the leading of the Holy Spirit, and here we are. But anyway, let's stand in the reading of God's, honor of God's Word, and I'm going to be basically just making a few points from the book of Acts, chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 22, and then we're going to go to verse 28 here. And I'm reading from the ESV translation here. So it says, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all of the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our very being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and the imagination of man. Verse 30 is my key verse. For the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. And now I pray that you would be with me as I stand here this morning at Christ Community Church here in Helena. Holy Spirit, you know me. Take this feeble tongue. Take my mind, my heart, and use it for your glory's sake. Speak through me. Hide me behind the cross. It's in your name I pray. Amen. It was actually, as David said, 7 years ago, after relocating from the cold northern of Grand Rapids, Michigan, for 35 years is where I was. This was actually the first church within the Evangel Presbytery that invited me to come and to open up the Word of God and to preach. And so it's been about 7 years since I've been here on that level. So I want to kind of give you a few updates on what God has been doing with us here in Fairfield. I must say it's been slow, very slow, and very difficult at times, and hard. And along the way, I've wanted to quit like most missionaries. I've had my flag up so many times, I forgot how many times I've had it up. And every time I wanted to give up, I wanted to quit, God would do something outside of the norm to encourage Sandra and I hearts. It would be a crazy worship service, something that I was not expecting, because I guess God can read my heart and say, I know what you're thinking. So I'm just going to come and show up a little bit and do some extraordinary stuff that would not typically be something that I would think would happen in a worship service, and that would encourage my heart and a host of other things. But in the beginning of 2019, it didn't start off pretty well. It started off actually down. We couldn't have church service or worship service in the first 2 weeks of January. And so during that time, our core group, we took that opportunity to pray. It's okay, God. Been here 7 years. We're meeting at 5. We're doing the work of ministry, and we're trying to be faithful to the vision that you've given to us, remembering the poor and et cetera. What would you have for us to do? So we just prayed and asked God for that. And what came about was that we truly believed that during that time of prayer that God had really brought us to a place where he was impressing upon our hearts that we needed our own kind of permanent worship space, just kind of like you guys have here. And, you know, we just say, okay, God, we're going to believe God for that. And so that happened. And so we're in the process right now of raising funds for a building downtown Fairfield. We bought the building. We had some money in our building fund. And we bought a building, 13,000 square feet. And we're hoping and praying that by the grace of God, through the whole Jefferson County, includes Shelby County as well, and people from not only the PCA, but outside the PCA, because God has really kind of put us in we fellowship with a lot of different churches. In fact, next weekend, I'm preaching at Joe Brooks downtown. Joe's got a fast-growing church there in the city of Birmingham, and so him and I are becoming really good friends. So we're hoping and believe by a few months here, we'll have a new building, and somewhere along in this 2020 year, we will be meeting in the mornings. And I've gotten kind of weary of the 5 o'clock p.m. services. I really want to use that for discipleship and everything else. And so everything is good. But transitioning from that, 7 years we've been here, and God waited till 2019 just to kind of put his hand of grace even more so. And so here's what I would say. It seemed though in the last 7 years that God had been processing me in these 7 years and getting me to a place where I would do missions in Fairfield his way and not the religious way. And so my talk here this morning is basically everyone is very religious, but not gospel-centered. But here in our text, we see Dr. Luke, who's writing the book of Acts, he lets us know that the Apostle Paul was in Athens because he was doing global missions work there. He was not in Athens because he was on a vacation or he was looking for a job, but he was there to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while there in Athens, Dr. Luke tell us that Apostle Paul perceives that the Athenians, that they are very religious, meaning that they were spiritual in every way, that they had their gods and their goddesses and objects of worship that they gave homage, doing rituals and trying to find some appeasement from the gods. Great PCA theologian Tim Keller says, every person, religious or not, is worshiping something to get their worth. And being religious does not imply the same as being gospel-centered. And this, my brothers and sisters here this morning, is the same thing we see all around us here in Atlanta, whether it be in Fairfield today, that people are trying to get their worth in materialism. They're trying to get their worth in the pursuit of worldly pleasures. They're trying to get their worth in the pursuit of whatever that is, the American dream. They're trying to get their worth in doing some kind of good deeds and being very, 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 very religious about it. And so this is why we need to always be committed to the work of missions globally and locally. We need to be focused upon it. We need to have our hearts bent towards that. And so I really appreciate here how David just, in the small time that he just masterfully just really unpacked that. And what you guys are doing as a church here this morning and being committed to the missions globally and both locally. Because you see, when I arrived in Fairfield 7 years ago, I saw lots of churches and I encountered people every day who seemed on the surface to be very religious. Whether they were highly educated, poor, street people, and all of the above, and from all ages. I still don't really believe, and I asked my wife this last night, I don't believe I have met any professing, genuine, non-believer in Fairfield in 7 years. Hey, who doesn't believe in Jesus? But if you just look at the news, you're like, well, Pastor, that's not correlating. But I haven't really met anyone who's truly a non-believer. But everyone is very religious. In fact, I would say that a very high percentage of the people profess to be Christians and believe that they are on the narrow road. They actually believe that. And so in my first few years in Fairfield, I said to myself, Evangel Presbyterian must not have done any research in Fairfield because everybody is saved and already believes in Jesus, and there's a church on almost every corner. I said, why did they call me down from the cold northern Grand Rapids to put me in Fairfield where there's a church on every corner? Surely we don't need another church plant in Fairfield on the west side of town, surely. I said, Tom Cheeley, God bless his soul. Did you do your homework? I don't need to be here. Send me to Africa. Send me where there is no confession or profession in Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, we're in Fairfield. But here is where it becomes problematic. And why I think it took God almost 7 years before I actually realized what was right in front of me. Being very religious doesn't require repentance. But being gospel-centered means proclaiming a message that does require repentance and discipleship. But being very religious, it's like the Oprah Winfrey religion. I can do what I do. Man, what's that? That's flip a coin. I determine that. But I'm spiritual and I'm very religious. But being gospel-centered, it really does require repentance and discipleship. And discipleship, brothers and sisters here this morning, is not only the work of the pastors, teachers, shepherds, it is the work of every disciple and believer to do the work of discipleship. And so one of the things David asked me, he says, God's mission and our mission. Well, if you're a believer here this morning, you say, well, I just want to know what my purpose is. Discipleship. Somewhere in that. Just say discipleship. In fact, at our church, we're undergoing this very thing. And really, you know, it's really difficult now. And I meant to bring a book here this morning with me that I really want to encourage you guys all to read. I think it's probably the best book. And I read a lot of books. And I just tell you the name of it. I read it in 2018. And now I got my elders in training going through. They won't put, you know, we read a chapter every other week and we meet on a Friday morning at 6, and half of them have already gone ahead and said, "Pastor, it's a good book." I said, "Man, y'all skipping. I mean, you're supposed to do it, you know, take a time, but this book is good." And it's somewhat frightening in a way, but it's called Hope of the Nations by John S. Dickerson. And basically, it's really just kind of pointing out, in fact, that how we're becoming as a country and a nation. But not just that, it's a lot to it. Discipleship is not happening on the ground as much as we think it is. And I've learned that being in Fairfield. And anyway, and this book is really just kind of pointing out that. And so if we like the America that we like now, then if we want to see the things that we see and how we love our freedoms, and then how we disciple our neighbors. And I just looked up Helena. Y'all guys are growing pretty fast out here, and people are coming from all over the world. Here's the point. They're not bringing this gospel-centered worldview that you and I have. So someone has to get up and take some cookies over there and knock on the door and say, "Would you like to come and have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, or Starbucks, or whatever the case may be, and do what Christians have been called to do for 2,000 years. And so every believer, "Pastor, I want to know what my mission is, my purpose. Discipleship. Making disciples is the assignment and the call of every believer." But here in verse 30, Paul says to us that this gospel message that he's been given, it includes a command to repent and turn from all of your religious activities. Now, Paul is there in Athens. And he said, "I can see that y'all are very religious, that everyone has their own God, and everyone has their own self-help book." It was like Barnes & Noble's on Front Street. Everyone has a God. Everyone has something that they're gaining their self-worth by. But Paul says, this message that I've been given by Jesus Christ is a message that commands people to repent and to turn from all of your religious activities. And Paul builds on this. He says, because, why do we do missions? Why are we raising $50,000? This is why. And I think in our modernity, this has been lost. And this has gone to the background. But Paul says, this is why I'm here in Athens. Though I know you're religious, why are we in Fairfield? Though I know you are religious. But here's Paul would say, why? Or we're doing this thing called global missions and local missions, because Paul says in verse 31, because God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world. Now here it is. And this is where the rubber meets the road right here. It's in this. See, if I was in the room talking to Oprah Winfrey, you know, this is where the plane will land on the tarmac right here. This is where, now she might beat me on some other stuff, you know, her language is pretty high-ending and stuff like that, but right here is where me and her were like, this is where it would come down to. Because Paul says, because he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. Now, we're in the book of Romans at Urban Hope Community Church. And one of the reasons why, you know, we went through the book of Genesis, now we're in Romans. And one of the reasons why I felt the Lord really leading us to Romans is because 2020, I think, is already, you can see it somewhat, what's happening politically and everything else. I'm in the reform camp, so I keep my ear to the ground. And there are lots of just finger pointing on who's done what, who's sinful, who's bad, who's did this and that. So it's splitting SBC, Southern Baptist Church, and it's coming into the PCA. And so I'm just thrown in the midst of it. Pastor Hardy, what do you think about some of these things? Who's the worst sinner in this camp? Is it us? Is it grandma? Is it big mom? Who is it? So Paul is, the book of Romans say, all y'all, country language, all y'all sinful. So we're calling it God's message to the whole world. Who's not sinful? All y'all. Everybody's sinful. And so Paul says in verse 31, he is going to judge the world in righteousness. That's everybody. By the man whom he has appointed. And Paul says in Romans 1:18, he tells us, why? Because for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Paul says, God's wrath is coming. In fact, it's already here. We see death all around us. It's a fact, last week, you know, we meet in the evening, so we get sometimes, I can get a blessing when something can transpire on a Sunday morning because we meet at 5. So last Sunday, most of us know, Kobe Bryant, the great basketball player, died, and Kobe was an icon in the hip-hop millennial generation. You know, I grew up in the Jordan generation. I say Kobe Bryant is 2.0. He's just imitating Jordan. So I wasn't a big Kobe Bryant fan, because if I wanted to see Kobe, I just watched Jordan. So, but nevertheless, they didn't grow up in my age, so they Kobe guy, and they think Kobe was came up with these new moves. But anybody my age, 50 and over, you know Kobe stole every move he had from Jordan. The way he walked, the way he stuck his tongue out, how he laughed, how he talked. It's all Jordan. So I said, I don't need to watch Kobe. I go to the real master, Jordan. But anyhow, death. Multimillionaire. His daughter, 13. And most of you know, I got a millennial church, and they, you know, and they're friends of millennials, and so hip-hoppers and rappers. You know, they're all down in Miami now. You know, everybody's got a Kobe jersey on. But in fact, if you look up the news, you know, sex trafficking and all the stuff that goes on in the city of Miami, Florida, is everybody's making money because sin is just abounding. But everything that, you know, Kobe, rest in peace. And here's that. It's rest in peace, whatever that means. Rest in peace, rest in peace, rest in peace at the strip club. This is all rest in peace. And it's just a norm of the culture. Rest in peace. So we had to preach into that. And so we basically came in, and I'm in the book of Romans. I didn't have anything. And every now and then, God just sets me up beautifully. Because I'm in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, and I'm focusing on what the benefits of being genuinely justified in Christ and talking about the benefits of that. And basically, and I had verse 2, we're focusing on how, what is this hope that we all long for, Paul says. This hope is that the hope is of the glory of God. So I was really focusing on that. And so I basically just unpacked that. What is this hope of the glory of God? What does this really mean? And summarized it. And it was quiet. And read a lot of scriptures that day. And unpacking why death is here. You'd be surprised. People, how many people don't really know why we die? Why it is? Where does death come from? Is it just because you get old? And God really spoke into that. And so Paul says here in Romans 1:18 that the wrath of God is abiding, is coming, is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and the righteousness. And then Paul, in Romans 3, verse 9 and 10, Paul says in his conclusion of to the whole world, both Jew and Gentile, Jew and Greek and Gentile, that in the whole world there is none who is righteous. No, not one. Not righteous. Therefore, we all need the righteousness, which Romans is explaining to Paul's teaching, that we all need the righteousness of Jesus that comes to us by faith, trusting in the finished work cross, what Christ has accomplished. It's not osmosis righteousness. It just comes when we die. It is a righteousness that comes by faith. And Paul says, God is going to judge the world in righteousness. He's commanding people to repent and flee from Sodom. Flee to the ark. Flee to the ark of safety. Flee Run, because there's a day coming. God is normally, he's not winking. He's not overlooking. He's dead serious about it. This is his mission. I sent my son. I'm coming again. I'm going to judge. Be about the business of taking the gospel to every corner, to every nation, Fairfield, Inslee, and the whole world. Because I'm coming. I am going to judge every human heart in the righteousness that has been appointed by that man named Jesus. And God said, I'm not commanding people to repent, to turn from their very religious, self-righteous efforts. It will not be enough. No moral attempts, religious moral attempts, would not be sufficient enough in this day of judgment. It will not. It will not. We're only declared righteous by this reality of Jesus believing, trusting in that gospel message and story. Brothers and sisters, why 7 years in Fairfield has taken me a long time. The biggest contrast that we have in Fairfield, and not just Fairfield, it's everywhere, that somehow people believe that they're saved by whatever it is other than what we're talking about. It's that real. It's that intense. This is why global missions is so important. Because I was thinking, well, why do we do global missions? What's the, you know, just when you just look at it in the natural, is it really that severe? Yes. Because every day people are dying. But God knows my heart. What does that mean? God understands. I'm a good person. I would challenge you to do this. Just people at your job tomorrow, explain to me the gospel. I promise you, you won't hear flee to Jesus. You'll hear a lot of other stuff. And this is the problem. That is not the gospel. The gospel is God's righteous standard, his holiness is above what we can even comprehend. There is nothing that I can do to be good in God's sight other than flee to his son and receive the righteousness that comes from him, from his work that he did on my behalf. But what you will hear is all of this other stuff, and therefore you get a lot of religious activity that is not biblically gospel-centered Christianity. And what we're trying to do in Fairfield, tell me what the gospel is. Why is death here? Can't wait to get to not this week, but next week, I get to verse 12. Why is the Grim Reaper running around? Who is he? How did he get here? You'd be surprised. People don't even know why people die. We know because of sin that death entered into this world. And this is why Jesus says to the disciples at Mount Galilee, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Paul says, God has commanded men to repent, means to turn around and go into the other direction, flee, turn, run to the cross where we can find refuge. And us as believers and disciple makers is basically drilling down on that, drilling deeply down in that particular, what does it really mean to believe in Jesus? Now in here, you know, we are going through a new membership. We had 13 or something like that, that was going to be, said they wanted to become members, join our church. think last I checked, we started interviewing them. Pastor Chad, my assistant pastor, sent the emails, says, explain to us the gospel. Be very explicit. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? I mean, they're asking to join the church. They want to be members. And sent the email out. And, you know, we said, now you got to be able to explain what the gospel is now. In order to be a member, I will make sure I'm not building a mega church here on my own. See, that's the stuff God had to work out of me. Started interviewing. Couldn't answer it. One guy just kept saying, explain the gospel. God is love. Okay. God is love. Okay. We're sitting around. God is love. One young man. Yeah, I believe Jesus, but I don't think he's the only way. Okay. We'll explain that a little bit more. Millennials, and the research shows, I mean, Jeff was talking about that millennials have a difficult time evangelizing doing this because they would say, what's the point? God is love. Heaven is big. Everyone's getting in. I don't really think I need to share my faith. I don't really know why we're doing global missions. That's actually hostility. That's kind of messing with them, telling them their religion is wrong. You see, and that's where it gets problematic. So the young man was like, I want Jesus, but I don't want him leaving my friends out. And so we went from 13. You take a guess. This is why we do it. This is why the brothers in Pakistan, because there is a day that God is going to call and judge the world in righteousness. We can only be righteous, as Paul says, by faith in Jesus, not by the works of our hands, not by the law, but what we do, being very religious, but by putting our whole heart and leaning on that reality and what he has accomplished. That's how we're saved. So let me pray. Father, thank you for Christ Community Church. Encourage church, Father, to continue the faithful work of doing missions, both locally and globally. Lord, these are severe moments in our world. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to be gospel-centered discipleship makers. We thank you for it now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.